On today's Part in My Take, future Hall of Famer Drew Brees joins us. We have NBA playoffs. Russell Wilson just got paid. Hot seat, cool throne, and we're trying something a little different. It's guys on dudes or guys on guys. We're going to give life advice to a couple guys. Or I don't even know what's going to happen. We're just going to mix it up. Before we do all that, though, the Cash App. It's time to talk about the Cash Card from the Cash App, the number one finance app in the App Store for a reason. The Cash Card is the most powerful debit card in the world and the only debit card with Boosts, a money-saving feature you can't get anywhere else because the Cash App invented it. Just select a Boost in your Cash App, swipe the Cash Card, and save 10% or more at Whole Foods, Shake Shack, Chipotle, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, Domino's, and coffee shops. You want to go organic without paying for it? Save 10% on every bag of groceries with the Whole Foods Boost. It's not hard to spend $50 at Whole Foods. But
I call
easy.
It Whole Paycheck.
There you go. But not anymore because you have the Cash App. It's easy to save $5 if you do. So the coffee shop boost takes a dollar off at any coffee shop, including Dunkin' and Starbucks. Buy 200 cups a year. Save $200. It's that simple. Become a part of the greatest rewards program ever and get boosted. Download the Cash App from the App Store or Google Play and order the Cash Card today. You're not an award-winning listener unless you do. So go download it. Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, and Patrick Beverly is an Instagram commenter come to life. He is so far inside of Kevin Durant's head, it's awesome to watch.
I love Patrick Beverly. Watching that game last night, and I accidentally stayed up for the entire thing.
Oh, really?
So I saw the comeback. They were down 31 points. So I kind of zoned out. And then I was checking Twitter and had the game on in the background. And then I saw people tweeting, like, they're back within 12.
Well, it
and
all started like, okay. with yeah, it started okay. with Patrick Beverly taking that offensive foul with 25. They were down 25 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, Patrick Beverly gets in your shirt. He is inside of Kevin Durant's shirt.
I love the way that he plays defense. The best way I can describe it is he's like if Gary Payton went to Duke. He's like a little pest that swarms around your midsection. He gets lower than you do, which in basketball you wouldn't think means a lot. But according to Seth Greenberg, he said low man wins, yeah. And so did Jay Bayless. So I'm choosing to believe that short people are back in basketball. But he is one of my favorite players to watch on defense. He's like if you gave a honey badger a dose of LSD and just had it like attack itself in the mirror for 6 hours.
He never played for the Grizzlies, but he is the grit and grind Grizzlies. Just he's carrying the torch for the grit and grind Grizzlies. He's Tony Allen, Chicago Tough. Those guys just will get in your face and not let you up. And the fact that he's doing it to Kevin Durant, who is a future guest, Kevin Durant, of this podcast, it is awesome to watch the Warriors crack. Boogie gets hurt. They blow a 31-point lead. Draymond's mom
Hey, don't let that distract you from the fact that the Warriors blew a 3-1-point lead last night.
That's great. There was a lot of people making that joke. Yeah. It was great. It was great to see. So Boogie gets hurt. They blow a 31-point lead. Patrick Beverly gets inside Kevin Durant's head. Draymond's mom retweets people bashing Kevin Durant. The Warriors are breaking.
I think you forgot the biggest turning point of the game, and that's when Steph Curry hit that three, and then he kept saying, I'm a bad boy.
Yeah.
I'm a bad boy.
But then he got injured.
That was
then
the turning point of the game.
Then his ankle injury hurt.
That was, yes, I'm a bad boy.
He got his fourth foul.
That's intimidating as fuck.
He's a bad man.
Bad boy. But I want to jump back real quick to that sequence with Patrick Beverly and Kevin Durant. At one point in the game, over the course of about 4 minutes of real-time action, they had like four fouls called on the two of them.
Yes.
They were just like going back and forth at each other. Kevin Durant, you can get in his head, and his head, it was gotten into.
Well, he did it in the first game, too. They both got ejected from the game in the first game. Patrick Beverly also doing the thing at the free throw line. You see him where he pretends that he's going to fall into the lane right before Kevin Durant shoots, and he missed a free throw from it. Obviously, the Warriors are still the odds-on favorite to win the championship, but This is the sign of a little, like, I'm of the mindset that Kevin Durant's gone the second the season's over. So just a little bit of, you know, anything that can get in their heads. Patrick Beverley, Draymond's mom, Boogie getting hurt, which actually Boogie getting hurt probably helps the Warriors because it's like one less crazy guy going crazy.
Well, now they
Draymond's already there. Now he's already doing his crazy.
He's crazy in his own way.
But it is, let's just say, let's put him on alert. It's a good thing we didn't make that bet with Hank. Yeah, now we don't have to do it.
That's true.
Here the stakes are. No, we'll still do the bet. The stakes are we will give you a nice handshake if the Warriors don't win the title.
Firm.
Sad. The firmest handshake we could possibly give you.
Oh, that's sad.
Okay, what do you want? What do you want, Hank?
I would like you guys adopt a turtle.
We're going to kill the fucking turtle.
No.
Like, not intentionally,
else,
but like our track record.
Can someone else take care of it?
Yeah, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah. We'll have a turtle in the office. I'm fine with that. Do turtles give you... No, that's frogs. Warts. We will adopt a turtle, and you will shave your beard for an entire month.
No.
that's a
not
turtle
fair
and
at
a
all.
Beard?
You know what? We should name
the
turtle.
We have a life, a turtle life.
We should name the turtle Fear. So its name is Fear the Turtle.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Shout out to SVP.
Hank, you should have to cut your hair into a mohawk and shave your beard.
Mm.
I will shave my beard.
Added one thing.
You guys
see now. That, by the way, right there,
yes,
that was fucking
art of the
deal.
That was art of the deal.
You said shave your beard, and Hank said no. I said shave your beard
and
cut a
mohawk,
and
you're
said,
like, all right,
no, but
I'll shave
my
beard. You just got fucking dealed, bro.
Yeah. Big Cat asked to rock a soul patch for a month.
A
soul patch is a good looking.
And PFT, you can't shave for a month.
I'm he's
basically
doing
reached
that
point.
No, but once the playoff season ends, you have to keep it going for a month. Whenever that is.
Yeah, you're not going to like looking at it, so.
All right, fine. We'll go soul patches.
Soul patches.
You have to shave your beard.
Okay.
All right?
2 weeks?
For 2 weeks.
So it's Warriors versus the field.
Warriors versus the field.
All right.
All right, deal.
Okay.
Deal.
Handshake.
All right, let's talk about some other stuff. We are taping before the Magic play, but we're just going to assume they won.
Oh, they kicked their ass.
They kicked their ass. Magic are up 2-0. The Raptors stink.
They
the Magic are going to win the title.
They beat their ass so bad that Magic Johnson logged on to congratulate his Magic counterpart in Orlando.
Yes.
It's truly a night of magic.
We are the number one Magic podcast. I got something in the works. Maybe we're going to get a diehard Magic fan on to give us a little something.
Wait, so who are the what are the names of the Magic players that we know now?
Michael Carter Williams.
MCW, Aaron Gordon.
Mo Bamba.
DJ Augustine.
DJ Augustine.
We have four.
We have four.
We almost have a starting lineup.
This could be the night that MCW earns his pinstripes.
Yes. The other news we have, Russell Wilson just got motherfucking paid, and he did the most awkward I just got paid video in bed with Ciara and a shitload of chains, probably post-sex, $140 million, $65 million guaranteed. $65 million signing bonus, $107 million guaranteed. It's one of those contracts that's both ridiculous and you have to do it.
You do have to do it because he's proven that he's good enough to take your team. Like the last couple years, it's basically been Russell Wilson and / Chris Carson.
Except,
that's it.
Except when they go into the playoffs and they're like, hey, let's just have Russell Wilson, our best player, not throw the ball and keep running for 2 yards a carry. You have to do it, too, because there are three quarterbacks in all the NFL that you would give this deal to. 4 years, $140 million. Aaron Rodgers already got it.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson just got it. Patrick Mahomes is the third. There's not anyone else. Those are the three guys.
Yeah.
You can't think of any other guys. Like
at
Tom Brady, you would not give him a four-year deal. Drew Brees, no. Philip Rivers, no. Like Big Ben,
you
wouldn't give any of those
guys.
But
I'm also very dumb, and I do believe when Tom Brady says that he wants to play for four more years, I believe him, and therefore, when I hear that, I think that Drew Brees will try to play just long enough to outlast Tom Brady on the career passing yards list. So I wouldn't be surprised if Brees stuck around.
But you wouldn't give them four-year deals.
I probably wouldn't give them four-year deals.
No, you wouldn't give them $65 million signing bonus guaranteed. There really are only three guys, and those are it. And the quarterback
Jared
bubble.
Goff.
The quarterback bubble will burst soon. You'll see it soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen with Russell Wilson.
Well, the thing is, like, the quarterbacks, I think, will turn into starter wives for the rich owners.
Right.
So once they get to they'll get year five, the option thrown in if they're a first-round pick. And then after that, the owners will just go dipping their wick back into college.
Well,
let's go get a new one.
Right, especially because college and pro are getting closer and closer, and you're hiring college coaches, and everyone's running the spread except for the Broncos. The interesting.
They don't need to.
Yeah, they don't need to. They do not.
With
need
the
to.
New pass interference rules, I think Joe Flacco will be just fine.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jameis and Marcus Mariota this year, because they're not franchise quarterbacks in the traditional sense, in the Russell Wilson sense, not even close. But they are the guys that are like, hey, this is now, they're going to be free agents. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
I think Mariota's gone. I don't think that Vrabel likes him.
Both might be.
He's not a Vrabel guy. Arians loves Winston for whatever reason. I don't really know.
You know who the Titans also have now, right? Ryan Tannehill, right?
That's right. So next step. Time for him to make that next step.
He will make the next step this year. And Mariota will get hurt.
Yes, he will. With Winston, if Bruce Arians can make Winston's turnovers 25% less hilarious.
Got small hands.
Then they'll be able to re-sign him. Then they'll feel good about re-signing him or something. But right now, as it stands, he is just so goddamn funny when he turns the ball over that you can't justify giving him that contract.
I'd agree. All right, so that's Russ Wilson. Again, one of the weirdest videos. Like, he is... That's, you know who that Russ Wilson is? So the video was NC State Russ Wilson. The guy who got the money, that's Wisconsin Russ Wilson.
Okay.
I like to separate them in my brain, yeah.
I just want to say it would be a wonderful time to open up like a Tommy Bahama or a Gap store in Russell Wilson's neighborhood, because you're about to get a fucking come up right
now. I think he's dressing a little differently now that he's got Ciara.
He's still, no, but
he's,
you know,
getting
what?
All cool, Russell Wilson. He's got the chains in bed. Who wear? Oh, sorry, Hank.
Hank, you okay? You got an important thing to do right now?
Who wears those chains to bed?
That is,
those are your fucking chains, actually. That answered my own question. Those are for sure his fucking chains.
What that is, it's like, I saw Future wearing this, so now I have to wear more chains than Future in bed with Ciara. I think that Ciara's got him dressed up most nights of the week in ways that she approves of, but Russell Wilson on weekends is still dad time. It's still like Hawaiian shirt tucked into acid wash jeans, maybe some Crocs on there.
Yes.
Just milling around the backyard doing some lawn work.
We had two of the best... two of the best moments of sex that we obviously never got to witness, but Tiger Woods, after 11 years of not winning a major, sex, and Russell Wilson, $140 million sex. Those are probably the two best sexes that you can do, right?
I didn't think that it was going to happen either. I thought the deadline, it was, by the way, smart. Credit to Russell Wilson setting a fucking deadline at midnight on April 15th.
Oh, and also...
He just cucked the United States government.
Yes, also doing the Jimmy Fallon, where Jimmy Fallon, who I don't think asks sports questions normally, was like, hey, Russ, you're going to be the highest paid quarterback, aren't you? Like 2 weeks ago, and just started the whole, you know, news cycle going like, oh yeah, he should get more money.
Hey, Russ, that's wild.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let me fuck with your hair.
Let me crack an egg over your head.
Yeah, get it?
All right, I got a question for you, PFT. It's a SeatGeek question. Promo code TAKE. Put in promo code TAKE, you get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. 5-0, you lost to the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
A little bit of worry?
No. Not worried.
Also, Alexander Ovechkin beat up a minor.
He beat the shit out of him.
He beat out of a 19-year-old. That was pretty fucked up.
The kid wanted to fight.
Yeah.
The kid got what he wanted.
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone's little bro, you know, like, you, like your little cousin at, like, the family retreat.
Listen.
Like, I want to fight. Like, no, you don't. That was disgusting by Ovechkin.
If you can,
a 19-year-old.
If you can star on a film that's on YouPorn, giving somebody else a shot to the face, you can take one to the face on the ice.
Guy can't even drink.
Well,
now Rush, you know, Russian.
He can't. He's from Russia.
Yeah, he's Russian. He's been drinking
his
whole life
too.
So you're not worried at all?
Not worried at all. And here's why: if it was a 4-3 overtime loss, I would be a little bit more worried. But the fact that I was rooting for it to get worse and worse and worse as the game was going on. When it was
statement loss,
when it was 3-0, I was like, "Fuck, four, give them four." And then I was like, "I hope they score another goal, because 5-0, you can just like you can wipe that one off."
Yeah,
you can just say, "Wasn't our night. Wasn't our night, fellas." If you lose a close game where you play, you know, at your best or close to your best, that's demoralizing.
Yes.
This one, it's just like, something weird must have happened, so let's just turn the page.
You know what I love about playoff hockey, and it's an underrated thing that happens every year? It's the hockey Twitter debate about hits. So whether a guy should get a suspension, whether he shouldn't, what's dirty, what's not. Those are my favorite moments, when everyone just spends an entire day going super slow-mo on a bunch of GIFs to decide whether there was intent to the head or he left his feet, all that stuff. There's nothing like hockey hits in the playoffs being under the microscope and debated ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. That's why I love playoff hockey.
It is great. GIFs are the worst thing, I think, to happen to the player safety department because you get second guessed left and right.
Everything.
And
except unless it's Tom Wilson.
Unless Tom Wilson, because he's just clumsy and you know that he's just accidentally
trying to kill
hitting
someone.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not worried at all. I'm actually not, because Ovi beat the fuck out of that guy last night. That was our big
old.
Win.
19 years old.
Well, the kid wanted to fight.
19 years old.
Yep, kid wanted to fight.
Imagine a grown man beating up Billy Football. Sad.
Yeah, I can. And it's
actually,
probably
I'd probably be cool.
It's
with
happened
too
several
now. He
times.
He hasn't talked to us in forever.
Yeah, so beat the fuck out of him. I mean, you can execute kids in the United States. So I think you should be able to
that got dark.
To dole out a little bit of fist-to-fist justice amongst Russians.
All right, hot seat, cool throne. Hank, would you like to start?
Sure. Thank you.
You're sure?
You're welcome.
You look like a goddamn snack today, Hank.
Thank you. My hot seat, I have a
It'd
few.
It'd be a shame if you had to shave that beard.
First one is Leroy, little Russell Wilson.
Uh-oh.
What?
Now, did Leroy delete the tweet?
No.
Oh, so are you done deleting tweets?
Are you asking me if my
I'm
dog is
if
done?
Leroy,
I'll have to ask him.
If Leroy deletes tweets still.
I don't know if he does or not. Oh, that's okay. You'll have to talk to him.
Got it.
My other hot seat is Nerds.
Wait, so you want to explain?
Leroy tweeted out that Russell Wilson was going to sign in New York for like $150 million.
That's not at all what he tweeted out.
What did he
tweet?
Oh.
Hey, you are slandering and libeling my dog.
You tell me, PFT.
My
we
dog's
going to
sue
because,
you.
Because
Hank, you ever been sued by a dog before?
Nope.
You're about to be, because what Leroy tweeted out was that he rejected the Seahawks' latest offer, which would have made him the highest paid quarterback in the league, and then I just tagged the Giants in it because everybody was saying that he wanted to go to New York. So,
but he accepted the
but
offer
he,
that
yes.
made him the highest paid quarterback.
They
the
made him a new offer later on that day as the deadline approached.
Oh, got it.
So there were ongoing negotiations during the day.
That's weird, because it seems like he probably just accepted the offer that you were implying that he declined.
No, why would you say that?
And then you said Giants.
No, this is how negotiation works.
Got it.
Also, shout out to the person that told me that bet me $12 that the information was leaked to Leroy by the Seahawks front office to make Russell Wilson look bad, because that's what's happening now.
Leroy can't be trusted.
GMs are,
Leroy cannot be trusted.
Dogs are loyal.
They cannot be. He cannot.
That's why they're called Fidelis.
I have no problem with Leroy. I have a problem with Leroy's owner deleting the tweets that are wrong.
I don't delete tweets.
Where's the Rick Pitino to Alabama tweet?
I don't know.
It's gone.
I have to talk to
it's
Jack
just
about
gone.
That.
It's just gone.
Jack deleted it during one of his intermittent fasts out in Malaysia.
My other hot seat is Nerds, because 20 minutes of Avengers leaked, and people are freaking out about spoilers, not getting spoiled.
Freaking out.
It's kind of sad, you know, someone's so obsessed with like a fantasy movie. Like, it's just a movie.
Yeah. Who, doesn't even like, have dragons in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably does.
Might, actually.
Probably has a dragon
I don't even
in
know
there
what Avengers.
Somewhere.
I think I did the Avengers. You explained it to me, and I still don't. Like, every time someone tells me who's in and who's out of Avengers,
it's
I
all
just
the
get
Marvel people.
You have to watch, like, 27 people. Movies to fully understand. It's
yeah.
a lot.
So I would understand why people get upset about a spoiler, but, I mean, the reality is it's Superman at the end. Superman is Thanos. So
Superman is Thanos?
He's Thanos. That's how that's how it ends.
Is that true?
No, it's actually like seven tiny Power Rangers in a trench
they
coat stacked up
out.
On each other, and they're Thanos.
Got it.
Actually, no, it's Hillary.
Like her.
I just need. I'm waiting for one like series or like sequel of movie to end where just Hillary's the head person. The entire
like,
time.
It was me all along.
Yeah,
and it's just her next to a fax machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's burning.
My cool throne is Baby Blues.
Yeah,
Chris Berman's favorite jerseys in all sports. The Chargers Baby Blues are going to be their official. They're not going to be their alternates. They're going to be like their permanent home or whatever away jerseys this year. So.
Nice.
Love it.
Nice.
It's exciting.
Love it.
That is very exciting.
It is.
Philip Rivers looks so much better in the Baby Blues.
The whole thing looks better.
In the dark.
Yeah. They're never going to win a Super Bowl in the Baby Blues, but it looks great.
They're candy ass, but in a good way.
Yeah. I'm done believing in the San Diego Chargers.
By the way, have you heard their theme song? They're like their rally
San
song?
San Diego Superchargers.
It is the best song in football.
Oh,
fucking love it.
They should go back to San Diego.
I was gonna, yeah.
What? I'm not going to start calling the LA Chargers. It's the dumbest fucking thing ever.
They don't sing that song anymore.
Superchargers. Well, if you're a real fan,
it's up to us to keep it going, hey.
Yeah.
Bass are also on the cool throne.
What?
Okay. Your good friend
Lil Uzi. Yeah.
Took a bath,
friend.
Had like 300,000 people watching him, and he was just sitting there like taking a bath. Then he wasn't even talking.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything.
That's how you get the people.
So he's
going.
A cam girl.
Yeah, pretty much, without the ejaculation.
How do you know he didn't ejaculate?
Might have underwater.
Yeah, underwater.
That doesn't count.
Under the sea.
Yeah. All right.
It's always
better
down where it's wetter. My hot seat is First of all, my future employment with the FBI.
Okay.
So I don't think I'll ever be allowed to be an FBI agent since I am now officially on film taking MDMA in the stands of Hong Kong in the rugby tournament with Donnie Does. You can go watch the video on that's on the Part of My Take YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. So go check it out. It was
subscribe.
Subscribe, please. Subscribe. It was quite an experience. Half of the Sunday I don't remember. I just remember feeling good, and then 5 hours later telling Chef Donnie, the intern, I said, man, I really enjoyed that, but it was over so quick. And the guy was like, dude, you've been on the moon for like 5 hours.
5 hours.
5 hours time.
The fact that they open the like entire arena at 7 a.m. and just let everyone come for the entire day is
insane.
Isn't that nuts to just open up a sporting arena and say, okay, it's time for you guys to come in.
Let's do it. It's like it's Coachella.
Yeah.
For three weeks.
It's Coachella for rugby.
Yeah.
And also because on Saturday I'm going to be out at the Cannabis Cup with the Hard Factor guys. We're going to
so
be
you're just a drug guy now.
Well, I'm considering faking the cannabis on Saturday. Don't tell anybody. This is between us, all the award-winning listeners. So the rule is they're going to do a live stream power hour where they take a hit every single minute for an hour and go through the week's news. I've got joints that are made from CBD that don't actually have THC in them.
Nice.
Don't tell anybody, but I'm done. I think I'm done with drugs.
Sure.
I'm entering the D.A.R.E. program.
It is good for a courtship of Joe Rogan, though.
Yes.
It is.
Is he going to be there?
Very true.
No, but the MDMA weed.
Got
like,
it. Yeah. That's true.
You know what I'll say?
We still got a microdose with Arian Foster later this month.
We do. I'll do that. That's not really drugs,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
Mushrooms?
If it's micro, it doesn't count.
Micro doesn't count. Okay. My other hot seat is Jim Nantz because John Kuhn is back. He just signed on to get into the TV and broadcasting game.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to be doing Packers games. He's going to be doing all sorts of multimedia stuff. Multimedia stuff because he's a teammate. No me and team. So I'm very, very excited to see our good friend John Kuhn getting behind the microphone.
So where's Jim Nantz come in?
Just hot seat because John Kuhn is a new man on the block.
Got it.
Yeah.
So is he going to be a play-by-play guy?
I'm not exactly sure what he's going to be doing, but whatever he does.
Just watch out, Jim Nantz.
He's going to work harder than Jim Nantz.
Don't go into dark alleys, Jim Nantz.
Mm-hmm. Kuhn might be lurking around any corner. My cool throne is bees.
Oh.
Because Pornhub is donating money to save honeybees for every view of a video that they have on their website about pollination, about bee pollination. It's narrated by porn stars in a very sexual way. And so for every time...
How'd you find out about this?
There was... I don't know. My friend told me.
Okay.
That my friend who goes to Pornhub, like a real weirdo.
I think PFT needs to find God. His entire hot seat is a cool throne has been drugs and porn.
Oh, I found God.
Yeah.
After about 3.5 hours of MDMA, saw him pretty clearly.
After people shamed you after your Notre Dame tweet.
Oh, wow. We're going there? We're going there? Also, I found God when I...
But you were fine because it didn't even burn. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It turns out I was right.
You were right.
I was right the whole time.
Right.
And I made helpful suggestions for how they could improve it during the renovations to make it more like an NFL stadium with a Jumbotron. Nice concessions where they got these big fucking confession wafers.
You got it.
Craft cocktail instead
of
wine.
I did have a cool throw-in for when Notre Dame like loses is going down this year. Like everyone's going to use that video.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's going to be
live look at Notre
for
Dame.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Anything else, PFT?
No, just the porn and the MDMA.
All right. My hot seat.
It's called the Bee Sexual Campaign, by the way. It buzzes with bee erotica to help save the bees. So I'm going to go ahead.
They should slip Jerry Seinfeld
in the video.
Yeah.
I'm going to open it up right now and save some bees. So
okay.
While you're going.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah.
So there is no porn or there is porn?
Well, we're about to find out.
Nature is bisexual, not bisexual, bisexual, which means most plants and trees rely on bees.
That's a bunch of bees just fucking flowers.
But sadly,
that flower is sucking that bee off.
Can I see?
It's lights out for nature's sex life and no more fruits.
Look, these plants aren't having sex anymore. They're sad.
Pornhub presents bisexual.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Abella Danger.
Hey.
And my friend
she looks like a good beekeeper.
Everyone should be having great sex, especially when that sex is so crucial to saving.
Why is it incest related videos on your underneath?
You're just making that up.
No,
right
I'm
now.
Not. I'm looking at it right now. You're porn.
Okay. This is Pornhub.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, you can tell that you're lying.
Is this a late like April Fool's joke?
No, this is it. I'm saving bees while we're watching this.
Okay. All right, let's keep going.
How many single hornets do you think I've saved by watching?
A lot. A lot. Easily. All right, my hot seat is elephants.
Save a few bees while you're
so Kirk Cousins has a new playbook. It is a huge playbook. He tweeted it out, which Kirk Cousins, just stop tweeting, dude. Every single time you tweet, you just get roasted. And when asked about how he's going to learn the new playbook, he said, just like eating an elephant one bite at a time. Mm. So Kirk Cousins, what's up, dude? Like, you, what is his deal?
Let's just start with, how about you start with defeating a buffalo at home?
Winning before, a primetime game.
Before beating an elephant.
It's he makes no sense. He really should, he's one of those guys that just should not use Twitter.
Well, to me what it sounds like is he heard this. He seems like a big TED Talk guy. I bet you every night he falls asleep with his earbuds in to like a random TED Talk and just hope it gets inside his subconscious.
Yep.
But it only halfway registers with him, so he wakes up with all these disjointed, weird tech and like motivational theories that he doesn't really understand. So it's like, in this case, I would say it's like playing a game of telephone that ends at Kirk Cousins that starts at Mike Tomlin and goes through Dr. Seuss.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just, like, it's like eating an elephant.
There it is. It's one a green elephant.
One bite at a time.
Yeah, we just eat that elephant. He probably puts tinfoil on that elephant meat before he puts it on the grill.
Yeah,
too.
Wraps the entire
100%. Thing. All right, my cool throne is prototypical quarterbacks / white quarterbacks. So we thought we were in trouble, guys. We thought that the NFL draft was going to start failing us and the system was not going to work anymore and all the tall white quarterbacks were going to be a dying breed. You have Kyler Murray going to go one.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Haskins supposed to be the second quarterback taken. Uh-uh. No, no, no. Daniel Jones from Duke, 6'5", 220. John Elway just took off his pants, is rocketing up the mock drafts, which that sentence alone is hilarious because we are now taking mock drafts as real news because people are just using mock drafts to rocket some guy up. But he might be the second guy taken, and he is 6'5", 220. Let me say it again, 6'5", 220, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, you can always tell that a player is really awesome if they get better and better and better the further time away spent from football that
actually
they
actually playing the game.
So, yeah, so it's been what, like, after 2 months in the first mock drafts, he was probably the fourth quarterback going
he's
off the board.
He's in the second round.
Yeah, but he's climbing the more that you forget about what he actually looked like on the field. But I have a conspiracy for you.
Yeah.
You know who's behind this, right?
Who?
Very clearly.
Who?
Archie Manning. Very clearly Archie Manning. Because the Manning family is fucking in love with Duke's coach. And
yeah, David Cutcliffe.
And they're, yeah,
he's the Manning whisperer.
They love Cutcliffe?
Cutcliffe.
They're in love with Cutcliffe. They're in love with just sending their boys to Duke University to do a passing drill once a summer. And this guy is just somebody that's been around Peyton and Eli for long enough that Archie's like, he's my third boy that I never have since Cooper died.
He can control this guy.
Yeah.
He knows how to keep this guy under control and not be good enough to take Eli's job for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
I have him at 17 on my mock draft.
Oh, you have him at 17?
Okay.
If I'm the Giants, I'm not making this pick, but the word is that the Giants like him and could very well end up using the pick they got from Cleveland to take him. Plus, David Cutcliffe coached him in Duke, and Cutcliffe coached Eli and Peyton. So.
Oh, that's some good analysis, man.
Your theory holds up here.
Hey, yeah, that's good, is good analysis.
You could write for a major media company like CBS. Yeah.
That was my fourth mock draft.
That was your fourth? Yeah. You've done four? Yeah. Damn.
Did you have any like in-betweens, like a 3.1 or a 2.5?
No.
That's fantastic, Hank. The worst are the people online who just steal other people's mock drafts and try to pawn it off as their own.
Totally
agree.
That's
the easiest thing in the world to do, but credit to you for not
credit
taking
to
the
Hank.
Easy way out.
Way
Hank.
To go.
Thank you.
All right, let's do Drew Brees. Let's do him. That's kind of weird to say.
Let's just fucking do Drew Brees.
Let's watch some more B videos, Drew Brees.
I've got one more B video. I'm going to save one more B's life, and then we'll
okay, so Brees. Before we get to the interview, we have a couple quick ads we got to do. The first one, our friends from Ridge Wallet. We actually got these sent to us, and they're awesome wallets. We all use them. So, listen, Ridge Wallets is a minimalist front pocket wallet that helps you reevaluate your everyday carry. Launched by a father-son team and funded on Kickstarter in 2013 to the tune of $266,000. The Ridge now resides in the pockets of over a quarter million men and women. The RFID blocking wallet is made by two metal plates, either titanium carbon fiber or aluminum bound together by a durable elastic band. Like I said, they sent them to us. They're awesome. They're sleek. You can put them in your front wallet, front pocket. They're no bulky wallets, no George Costanza wallets. It, like I said, it comes in titanium, carbon fiber, I can't even read right now, aluminum and polycarbonate, and over a dozen different styles and colors. So right now, go get your Ridge wallet. Get it 10% off today with free worldwide shipping by going to ridgewallet.com and use the promo code TAKE. Ditch your bulky wallet today and get the Ridge wallet at ridgewallet.com. Use that promo code TAKE. You get 10% off. I'm telling you, it is sleek. It is good. It fits in. Don't be that guy. I've actually been that guy recently. People have been noticing that my wallet used to be very big. No, get the Ridge wallet. You get that sleek design. No one's going to look at you and be like, why is that guy's wallet just protruding from his pants right now? So go again, ridgewallet.com. Use promo code TAKE and you get 10% off today. We also are brought to you by our friends at Roman. Go check out Roman right now. The Roman swipes. Listen, used to last longer by thinking about baseball or maybe, you know, saying the Pledge of Allegiance in your head.
Or watching B videos.
Now we got the foolproof method. It is Roman swipes. They are clinically proven to last longer, to make you last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, fast acting, and doctor recommended, but don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. Swipes are great. They will not transfer to your partner, so you can last longer without worrying. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the pocket, apply, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. So keep Roman swipes in your back pocket for longer, better sex, and get yours fast with free two-day shipping by visiting GetRoman.com/take. That's GetRoman.com/take. GetRoman.com/take. Go get them right now. All right, here he is, Drew Brees. Okay, we now welcome on Drew Brees. You don't need a real introduction here. Super Bowl champion, starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, holder of basically every passing record ever. But there is your introduction. You are doing a new ad with Untuck It, which we love Untuck It shirts. We've been wearing them forever. The ad is great because it is the first time I think you have publicly talked about the call in the NFC Championship game. So are we over it? Is this the last moment that you can kind of move on now that you've done the ad and profited off it? Or where are we at with the call being botched in the NFC Championship game?
Well, on a professional level, it's something that we got to let go of and believe that we have better things ahead of us. You know, worry about the things that we can control and the opportunity that we have this off season to get a little bit better and go into the end of the season with high expectations and hopefully deliver on that. But on this note, you know, listen, this was an opportunity to deliver the core message, which is what Untuck It is all about. But at the same time, doing it in kind of a light and humorous way. And I think we were able to do that. I think it's a great reflection of what the Untuck It brand is all about in having created the perfect shirt that is meant to be worn untucked. But and then at the same time, you know, you deliver a little zinger at the end of the commercial that, you know, people can laugh about.
Right. What's so nice about playing for the Saints, I have to imagine, is your fan base is so passionate. They're like attack dogs. So you can kind of move on professionally and you can say, okay, we've got to take these steps to get better and focus on next year. But you still know that the fans are going to be doing crazy shit, like putting up billboards in Atlanta, dressing up like blind refs during Mardi Gras. Has there ever reached a point where you're like, okay, guys, I think it's time for us as a city to move on? Are you always kind of happy to see them kind of going after your enemies for you?
I love our fans. We got the greatest fans in the world, and obviously they are a passionate group. And listen, everybody was pretty upset after that game and after the no call. And I think that'll always kind of live as a little bit of a way to call it have fun, you know, for the New Orleans faithful. But I think our fans are as excited about this upcoming season as we are. Obviously, the expectations are high. They always are. But, you know, I feel like that's what makes it so much fun.
So we were talking before we hopped on about your coach, Sean Payton, who we know and we've had him on the show before. He said publicly that it took him a couple weeks to get over that call and kind of move on. How long was it for you? How long before you kind of shook it off and didn't wake up thinking about it all the time?
Well, it took a while. I mean, probably until, you know, I started really training again and getting my sights and focus set on this next season. I always take some time just to get away and recharge the battery. You know, obviously it's a long and grueling season every year, especially when you make it that far in the playoffs and unfortunately fall short. So I think for everybody, it's good. It's healthy to get away, try to clear your mind, and then reset your focus and your sights on what you got to do to get better for next season.
I've got a real tough question for you. So we're going to get into the hard-hitting stuff right off the bat. What is the best uniform in all of football? The Chargers baby blue or the Saints all white?
Mm. They're both pretty sweet, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think the Chargers baby blue, the cool thing about that is that was actually their jersey, right, back in the AFL days, right, the Lance Allworth Bambi days in the 60s. So that was their actual uniform. I don't think the Saints ever wore the all white. That just was the color rush, you know, version. Yeah. So while I love the all white Saints, I think the Charger baby blue might go down in history, being that it was legitimately the jersey for them in the 60s.
That's a good that's a good answer. Chris Berman's favorite jerseys in all sports, so you can't go wrong there. Do you ever sit back and think about your sliding doors moment that you could have been a Dolphin and they somehow picked Dante Culpepper over you, which still is baffling?
Well, you know, when I was coming out of college, I felt like they were going to draft me at that time too. You know, at least that's what I was told. Going into draft day, I think the Dolphins had the 26th pick or something like that. And, you know, there was a bunch of teams prior to them that I had done private workouts for. And, you know, I felt like there was a strong interest. And I remember my head coach, Joe Tiller, he was very good friends with one of the Dolphin scouts. And he had come up to me before the draft and said, listen, if you're at pick 26, the Dolphins are going to take you. And so, you know, I'm going through the draft, sitting there in the back of my mind saying, all right, well, that's where I'm ending up unless somebody grabs me before that. And so here comes the Dolphins pick at 26, and I'm standing by the phone, and it never rings. Mm-hmm. And they pick Jamar Fletcher, a DB from Wisconsin, who I had played against a bunch and was a great player. But, that was that, and then obviously the free agency where the Dolphins were a possibility. There were two opportunities there.
Mm-hmm. Did you actually meet with Nick Saban when you were visiting the Dolphins?
Yeah, I did. They picked me up on Wayne Huizenga's plane, actually from New Orleans. I came to New Orleans first and then flew to Miami and did visits both those places. Spent a lot of time with Nick Saban.
Has he ever reached out to you in retrospect and been like, hey, Drew, I screwed that up. Hand up. That's on me.
No, here's the thing. I think we can all recognize that it's worked out for both of us.
Yeah.
That New Orleans was where I belonged, and I was there for a reason. That was truly God's calling for me and my wife, and for Saban. I think that he's done pretty well for himself at Alabama, so it's all worked out for everybody.
It is really crazy to think about how that sliding doors moment happens, and you become such an important part of New Orleans as a city post Hurricane Katrina and winning the Super Bowl, and you're part of the fabric of the city now. Do you look back at that and say, I can't believe that, like, Drew Brees and New Orleans have become synonymous in a way, and it's crazy what the Saints have done for that city.
Yeah, it's been an incredible journey. I mean, to think it's been 13 years, that's the crazy part, because it's gone by really fast, and there's been some unbelievable moments, obviously. Super Bowl and been a part of so many great teams, and you know, I've had the same head coach the whole time, which I know is very rare in this day and age in this industry. So I consider myself very fortunate, very lucky to not only be a part of such a great organization, but I think just the journey that we all embarked on back in 2006, you know, that was 6 months post Katrina, you know, and I know people recognize the devastation, you know, that Katrina inflicted on New Orleans. But when we got there, I mean, it was like a war zone, you know. So to get guys to come there back in 2006, 2007, that was a tall order. But it took guys with vision. It took guys with kind of that right mindset to know that they were going to be a part of something that was much greater than just football, and it was certainly much greater than themselves. And I think that's what made it so special was the people that we had a chance to share all that with.
Now, who was in that core group? Because, you know, we always hear about you and Coach Payton, but I'm sure that there was, you know, a larger group of guys that kind of founded that core. Who are the people that don't get talked about as much as you two?
Well, Scott Fujita, he was the first free agent signing, actually, and then I think I was the second. So he was a huge part of that journey for and was with us for 4 years. Part of the Super Bowl team, one of our starting linebackers. John Stinchcomb was our right tackle. He was an integral part of that. Will Smith, starting defensive end, who passed away 3 years ago. He was a part of that. And listen, so many others that came in, you know, through that 06, 07, 08 stretch. Scott Shanley, Jonathan Vilma, Deuce McAllister. We drafted Reggie in 06. I mean, there was just a tremendous group of guys that were a part of that.
I think it's safe to say both you and Coach Saban made the right choice. I think you're right on that one. But just allow me to daydream for a second that you had gone to Miami and you teamed up with Coach Saban and you would have stopped Belichick and Brady in their prime. So that would be nice. That would have been nice.
Listen, there's no question Coach Saban is extremely talented and gets the best out of his guys. I played against him twice in college. You know, if people forget, he was at Michigan State before he was at LSU. And so that was the coach that we had to deal with in the Big Ten, along with, you know, many others that were really, really good.
What actually, so I went to Wisconsin. I'm a Big Ten guy. Say something nice about West Lafayette. What's your favorite part? Jake's is no longer there, so there are no more free hot dogs. What's your favorite part about West Lafayette, knowing that Jake's is no longer there?
Oh, man. There's something about Midwest in the fall, you know, leaves changing color, walking through campus. It was a great atmosphere. And listen, I was a Texas boy, wanted to play football in the state of Texas for college and beyond. And, you know, so when I get the recruiting call from Purdue, I didn't have many offers. It was Purdue and Kentucky. But I remember going up there on my visit, and it was like 6 feet of snow on the ground. You couldn't even see the buildings. And I was just like, man, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, but it was obviously one of the best decisions I ever made. The education I got there, I met my wife there, was a part of the resurgence of that program. You know, Purdue wasn't known as a football school back then. We were a basketball school, right? Still are. But then that football program with Joe Tiller coming in 97 really kind of sparked a 10-year run there of bowl games and winning seasons. And then that's being carried on right now by Jeff Brohm, who I think is doing a phenomenal job at Purdue. So mm-hmm. I think the future's bright there. We're still huge supporters of the program, and I know what Purdue has given me, and I'm just trying to give back, and I think it's a tremendous place and a tremendous environment.
All right, who's the most important Purdue alumni, you or Lance Armstrong?
You mean Neil Armstrong?
Or Neil Armstrong, sorry. Yeah. Now bear in mind, Neil never threw a Super Bowl pass. He might have walked on the moon, but like four other guys have done that.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty significant, though, what Neil Armstrong accomplished. So I'd have to put him up there. I'm going to throw another name in there, John Wooden.
Okay.
Kyle Orton?
All right. Pretty strong. John Wooden, maybe only the greatest coach of all time at any sport, any level. Here's one for you, Amelia Earhart.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't think she necessarily went to like undergraduate school there, but Purdue has one of the best aviation programs in the country, if not the world, along with engineering and a bunch of other things. That's a good one.
That's a tough name, though, to throw out there and be like, we have the best aviation program.
Right.
Who else? What else you got there?
Purdue has put out more astronauts than any other school. I think it's like 22 astronauts. I think we had the first person on the moon, the last person, and the person who had the most trips to the moon.
You guys just own the moon.
Armstrong,
you literally own the moon.
Mike Ross, we are on the moon.
Yes.
Like, wait, way before Elon Musk started talking about going to Mars, we got everybody on the moon.
that's a big. I mean, Mike Allstott, obviously all time guy. Brad Miller. There's a bunch of guys.
Who speaks?
Yeah, three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Only one other school. Can you name that school and who they are?
Michigan.
No, we were just talking about this coach who coaches there.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Oh. Really?
Alabama.
You wouldn't, Joe Namath? So. Yeah, Joe Namath is the only one I'm thinking of. Wait, are we talking starting quarterbacks?
Bart Starr. Okay. Oh. Bart Starr, Kenny Stabler, Joe Namath.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
And then for Purdue, it's Lynn Dawson, Bob Greasy, and myself.
Oh, see, that's where I screwed up because I was thinking Bob Greasy Jr. went to Michigan. Mm. I assume Bob Greasy went to Michigan, but I'm wrong. No, I'm very wrong.
Drew, you were picked 32nd overall, right?
Yes.
So isn't that – do we still have to refer to you as a second-round pick, even though in today's math you're a first-rounder?
Yeah, unfortunately, or fortunately. I guess the good thing about it was the Chargers that year, their first-round pick, they took LaDainian Tomlinson.
That's a good pick.
That's not bad. Yeah.
And then I was there in the second round for them to take. So
yeah,
I'm okay with being in the second round behind LaDainian Tomlinson.
How much longer are you going to play? Because I feel like you are going under the radar. Tom Brady, everyone talks about him playing. He's a little bit older, but you're basically the same age. Are you going to play till you're 50?
Listen, I'm having fun. I'm having fun playing the game. I still have a fire and a desire and things to accomplish, and so I'm gonna do that as long as I feel that way, and as long as I'm having fun and able to stay healthy and play at a high level. And you know, my kids are in an age now too where they can enjoy this. I got three boys, age 10, 8, and 6, and a little girl who's 4, and they love game day. They love coming to the facility with dad and. You know, jumping in the cold tub, hot tub, whirlpool, and going in the weight room and going in the indoor facility and just, you know, running around, causing trouble, stealing gloves out of Michael Thomas's locker and, you know, Kamara and everybody else. So mm-hmm. I'm enjoying myself and I'm enjoying these moments for my kids too.
All right. So now give us a real number. What are you thinking? 44, 45? If you give us a number, Untuck It will get like a ton of publicity. They'll be like, Drew Brees says that he wants to play till 44 in Untuck It interview.
I don't know. I might have to put that into the next Untuck It commercial.
Okay.
That's smart.
We need some residuals from that. Yeah, we need some residuals from that.
I know you're a hyper-competitive dude. You want to keep playing as long as you know you're able to compete at a high level. But is there a small part of you that – steps to the side when Taysom Hill gets in, you're like, that guy's fun to watch take snaps?
Heck yeah, man, I love watching Taysom. he's like the Renaissance man. He can do everything, you know, anywhere on the field you need this guy. He can do it, and he can do it at a high level, and he embraces the role. So you know, that started off with, hey, you know, a couple times a game, you know, we're going to do this, call it wildcat, call it, you know, whatever you want to call it, where Taysom comes in and I go split out a receiver and give my best, you know, Randy Moss impression out there while he gets, you know, does the dirty work. But mm-hmm. That evolved into being a lot more as the season went on, just because it was so effective. You know, he is such a strong runner when he keeps the ball, and obviously a big threat, I think, to defenses. And so then that opens up opportunities for other guys as well, both runners and receivers. So, man, I think the sky's the limit as far as what we're going to be able to do with him, just because he is so versatile.
Do you ever get just like a little bit jealous and you're like, I think Coach Payton likes Taysom more than he likes me?
No, I'm jealous because I'm not that big and strong and can't run that fast. That's why I'm jealous.
Yeah.
But no, he's a stud.
I would actually argue that you are the most beloved guy in the NFL right now. Like, there's not even Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, they're guys who their fans love them, but everyone on the outside doesn't. Whereas you are loved, I think, throughout the league by everyone in the NFL, fans, front office, everything. So that, with that said, I'm going to nitpick something with you, Drew. I was reading your Wikipedia. And you said you live your life with the four priorities, or the four Fs. And the four Fs are faith, family, football, and philanthropy. Do you know how to spell the word philanthropy?
I do, but that's part of the humor.
That's not funny.
No, listen. Hey, it's just like the end of the Untucked commercial, right? I'm serious. And then at the very end, there's just a little zinger just to make sure you're paying attention.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's fair. What about fun? You should just have fun be one of the Fs. Friends, like us, who you pay.
Or put football in there twice.
Yeah, football double time.
So, yeah, but at some point, the length of F's becomes too long, right? You can't say I live my life by the 10 F's or the 7 F's. It's just, you know, the four F's sounded right. You know, there's four quarters in football. You know, say there's four quarters in life. You know, I live by the four F's.
Damn, that is a true football guy thing to do, just split up your life into four quarters.
I got a dumb question, right? But I think you have an answer for it. What is your favorite pass to throw?
Oh, man, everybody loves the go ball, right?
That's
everybody
true.
Loves to launch it.
Airing it out?
Yeah, just airing it out. Maybe it's just that that level of excitement. Like the minute a quarterback turns the ball loose and you know that ball's getting pushed down the field, there's like that 3-5 second period of time where everybody just kind of holds their breath. Mm-hmm. Right? And their eyes immediately go down the field and start thinking about, you know, how's this guy going to make this catch? You know, what's going to happen? Is it over the top? Is it a back shoulder? Is it, you know? So there's something exciting about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that moment where you grab the guy sitting next to you if you're in the stands. You're like, here we go.
Because you're like, something's going to happen. Yeah, I don't know what, but it's going to be cool.
Yeah. Drew, thank you so much for joining us. You joined us through Untuckit. Your new commercial is out. You're not mad about the call. You're just going to make a commercial about it like 3 months later, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Life goes on, man. There's bigger and better things ahead, but we're certainly going to take the opportunity to have fun with it.
Yeah, that's the fifth F. The
fun.
Hidden fifth F, fun.
Right, overtime.
Yes, overtime fun. All right, thanks so much, Drew. Good luck in the next season.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks, man. That interview with Drew Brees was brought to you by ZipRecruiter. As any coach or general manager will tell you, the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise that teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. The same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You need top talent, but you don't have endless resources to find it. Luckily, you do have ZipRecruiter. They scout the talent for you. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. Their powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the very first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PapaMikeTangoPMT. ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. That interview with Drew Breezy was also brought to you by Rough and Rowdy. Rough and Rowdy 8 is going back to its roots in West Virginia this Friday night. Rough and Rowdy is the best event we do. Everybody says it every single time. Rough and Rowdy's amateur fighters with no defense throwing haymakers combined with the funniest, most action-packed 4 hours you'll ever have. We guarantee at some point you'll have tears in your eyes laughing because you've never seen anything like it. You basically get laugh-out-loud nonstop commentary from Dave and Dan Big Cat Katz, plus the insane, unpredictable action in the ring. For Rough and Rowdy 8, we're bringing you the resurrection on April 19th in Welch, West Virginia. Go to buyrnr.com to learn how you can watch the fight for free.
All right, let's get to some segments. Holy shit,
Wait, are you Dan Big Cat Katz?
I am.
From
that
Rough
is
and Rowdy?
Me. That is me. By the way, the Blue Jackets are up 2-0 right now on the Lightning. The Lightning are about to get swept.
Yeah.
Insane.
The Capitals killed them. Also,
insane.
Thoughts and prayers to everybody in Columbus, basically just Mark Titus. You're not allowed to bring...
He's a Calibur.
That's
bro
right.
Now.
Yeah, former Columbite.
Yeah. Greg Oden.
Greg Oden. And that's about Thad Matta. Does he still spend summers there?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Yeah, you don't want to...
Probably still has got his house.
Yeah. So to those guys, you're not allowed to bring a broom into the stadium tonight.
Oh, damn.
Which sucks.
That does suck. Does a sweep count if...
No.
Random dudes don't bring in brooms and then piss off their wives because they're like, hey, where the hell's our broom?
Honey, we're bringing why would that piss off the wives?
You're just taking shit out of their house.
You're saying that the wife would notice that the broom's gone because why?
Men broom too.
Yeah, but why would the wife be upset?
Because they'd be like, why is there shit all over the house? You haven't broomed in a while, honey.
Oh, so you're saying that's her responsibility to
understand
when the house is upset.
No, she sees shit on the floor.
When the house is dirty.
Yeah,
you're the woman
knows that. Most people notice it.
Most people
I'm not. You can't corner me here.
Okay,
I'm telling you exactly.
Okay.
Like, the most people notice it.
Interesting pronoun that you used. You're canceled.
So, Oh, you've been canceled. Yeah. Don't you cancel.
I'm not
you
canceled. I uncanceled myself.
A canceled person can't cancel someone else.
I uncanceled myself.
You can't cancel someone else when you've been canceled.
I'm not canceled.
Week. You were canceled for a minute.
I was not canceled.
You were canceled for a minute. All right. We have Way to Stay Relevant. It's a cancel off, folks. It's a cancel off. I love people getting canceled. You just can't root for anyone anymore
because
they'll eventually be canceled. Way to Stay Relevant baseball. Blake Snell, Cy Young winner, got hurt getting out of his shower, which is just a classic baseball.
This happened. Yeah, it happens about this time every year.
Yep.
So the annual rites of passage in baseball in the spring are opening day slash not knowing when opening day was and finding out that it was yesterday in Australia.
Yep.
The first week of baseball where things are kind of cool, and the first fight of the season.
Yep.
And then the most ridiculous injury that happens. So, it's usually like a guy washing his car.
Yeah. Doing some sneezing, Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
Ironing himself, John Smoltz.
That was a great one while wearing the shirt.
Carlos Zambrano, who's back, God talked to him and told him that he should come back and play baseball again. I don't know why Hank threw that at him. Carlos Zambrano once had carpal tunnel because he was on the internet too much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
me too.
So, yeah, exactly.
I gave myself a bad case, of tennis elbow for being online.
Blake Snell wrote, I got off the plane, went home, took a shower, got out of the shower, and then there's like this big like granite thing that I don't like looking at, and I lifted it. It's like a three-piece set and like this pole that comes up 2.5-3 feet, and then there's a top. You like put something on it. I don't know what you would put on it in the shower. Like it's right outside the shower. So I'm like, I'm moving this. This is stupid. Dry it off. Put my clothes on. I start to move it. I lift it, and I go to move it where the tub is just to set that down. But I lifted it up thinking, all right, I'm going to lift this whole thing up and put it over here and get it away from where I'm always at. And then I lifted it up, and it wasn't glued to the pole. And then the pole came crashing down. And then, yeah, that was a story. Really dumb. Dude, you're having sex in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, so, that was a really long way of just saying, hey, I was having sex in the shower, and I stubbed my toe.
Yeah, so the big takeaway from that was he made sure to include the fact that he put his clothes back on.
Yes, yes.
So who is annoyed by something in their shower and then decides to get out of the shower, get dressed, and then move it?
Yeah.
At the very least, he was jacking off by himself and had a convulsion when he nutted, and he hurt his toe that way. Probably just having sex in the shower.
Probably just having sex in the shower.
But let's be real. You were not like fully clothed. I don't think I've ever stepped into a shower fully clothed in my entire life. Who does that?
Yeah, who does that? That's
even
that's a good
plumbers.
Point.
Their pants go halfway down off their ass.
Yeah, and then the woman walks in and is like, "Do you need help with that?"
Yeah, and
big
he's like,
boy.
He's like, "Yeah, you like the top right, half of my ass."
The porn. Pardon my take. Porn episode. It makes no sense. I also love when world class athletes somehow slip in the shower like they are now. Are, you know, 95-year-old grandmothers.
Well,
like, what are you
players,
talking about?
So,
but even like other guys have done this in other sports. We should do a dumbest. Did we do a Mount Rushmore dumbest injuries in baseball?
We should do an entire podcast interviewing people
dumbest
that have
injuries.
Had the dumbest injuries.
Glenn Allen Hill, when he has a spider phobia, arachnophobia, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he dreamt that he was getting attacked by spiders and slept walk and like hurt himself.
Really bad, right?
Tail. Yeah.
I think he hurt himself pretty bad.
There's all kinds of,
what about,
of baseball.
Didn't
injuries.
Felix Pye or Felix P.A.? Like have a twisted testicle somehow.
Yeah,
he like woke up in the morning and his nut had done like a 360.
They just figure out ways to hurt themselves
no
matter what.
We should do a full podcast of the dumbest baseball
the
injuries.
Dumbest baseball injuries. We'll do that this summer. We promise.
Probably.
PR 101, staying on baseball. Christian Yelich will not stop hitting home runs.
It's a problem.
It's a problem because, should we put the clip in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do
Here's
it.
The clip.
We may have said this.
If you win the home run derby,
what would you do?
I guess we'd have to eat crow. What do we want to eat?
Well,
yeah,
eating crow's ass.
Someone already did.
How
about
that?
Oh, well, yeah, we'll eat each other's ass.
I'll go down on
if
a crow.
If you win the home run derby, we'll eat each other's ass.
I'll go down. I'm going to lick a crow's butthole. Okay. That's what I'll do. I'll one-up the guy.
You're never going to win a home run derby. I'm fine with that. I'll just kill myself if you do.
You don't
that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I always have an out.
Oh, man.
And so that was from this past summer. So,
listen, it's somewhat ambiguous.
Very.
Because you said
we'll eat each other's asses.
We couldn't really hear what we said, but it's up for interpretation.
A crow's ass was thrown in there.
We have to eat each other's asses whilst eating a crow's ass.
Right. So we'll figure it out if we get to it. Not worried, but let's just say there was an honest conversation off air today about PFT and I cutting a piece of our ass and making a chili out of it. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
Hopefully just come on the show next week when he's in New York.
Here's the thing. Real talk, it's going to mess up his swing if he competes in the home run derby.
I said that to him, and he was like, I do it every batting practice. Hasn't messed it up since. I was like, well, that's
different.
Checkmate.
That's different because there are multiple rounds. And sometimes you just keep on hitting on forever.
Real talk?
In the home run derby. You're going to fuck up your swing.
Real talk? If he says that he's going to be in the home run derby, I will put steroids in his drink.
Spike that shit.
I will absolutely do. Real talk. Mm-hmm. We're not eating asses. We will do everything.
I'll get on the phone with Bud Selig. I'll send him a telegram because he probably doesn't use phones.
Correct.
I'll send him a telegram saying, hey, this is Christian Yelich's doctor. I'm giving him HGH every single day. And then have Bud really lay down the hammer on him. I know Bud's not technically commissioner. But
and also he doesn't care about steroids. But yeah. Yeah.
Anymore. Well, he
kind of did. But yeah, he got backed into a corner to care about steroids. Yes. But for a long time he didn't. Either way, Christian Yelich, just chill out, man. Stop.
You know what we should do? You know what we should do?
What?
We should do a deep fake of Christian Yelich. Of him like actually eating somebody's ass. We'll find a new ass eating video and edit his face on there. So Christian, I'm not blackmailing you.
No, we're not.
No, I'm not.
But we're willing to go at lengths.
Just know that I have far less to lose than you do.
Far, far less. All right, wrapping up here before we get to Guys on Guys. Who farted? The Max Kellerman edition. So the internet is saying Max Kellerman farted during First Take. Mm-hmm. Do you think he did?
Well, I think the gas bag on First Take is usually Stephen A. Smith.
Ho-ho! Hey-o! Yeah. I love a good fart video. Jim Tomsula, when he farted in his press conference, all-time moment. I think Chris Berman. Well,
no, Dicka did it.
Dicka did it. Oh, yeah, Dicka did it big time.
Dicka even did this.
He lifted his ass, yeah.
The cheek lift.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Let it go.
Get a little leverage on that fart. Huh? I think he did fart. And I think it's because Stephen A. Smith has just been owning him with debates, and he's about to get $10 million. So Max has probably been, you know, I don't know.
Well, he's also, someone's been, like, taking videos. When Kellerman talks on First Take, you can just see Stephen A. not paying attention. he's just completely zoned out, like, doesn't give a shit.
Right.
I love it. I love it.
So that could have been a response.
Kellerman is scared of Stephen A. Smith.
Yes.
He is absolutely frightened by the very sight of him. It's like, you ever see two dogs in a dog park and one just pisses themselves when they see the other dog because they're such a beta? That's what Max Kellerman steps into the ring on First Take. He hears Molly Kierum's voice, and he immediately just all body functions.
Yes.
He does. He simultaneously, he goes number three. He pisses, he poops, and he pukes at the same time.
But Stephen A. Smith actually should have just ended the show and been like, I need a new co-host. I just made my co-host shit his pants.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the sight of me.
You know what? Stephen A. Smith should just debate a pile of his own money.
Burning.
That would be amazing.
Like the Joker. Just burning a pile of money and debating it.
Just like Molly Kierum reaches over and she lights like $5,000 on fire at the start of every show. And Stephen A. Smith has to holler at it until the fire goes out.
Oh, man. All right. Last up before we get to Guys on Guys, talking soccer. Roma has banned all their players from taking pictures with Drake for the rest of the season.
Fair.
Because the Drake curse has hit soccer. I guess like five teams have lost recently that have all taken pictures with Drake. Smart move. Also, talking soccer, Messi advanced in the Champions League, but Ronaldo did not.
Okay, so quién es el GOAT?
Messi.
El campeón, Messi.
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 Messi. And that was talking soccer.
So I am totally on board. This is an Italian team that did it, right?
Yes.
Totally on board with an Italian team. I love it whenever these European soccer teams do stuff that in the United States would just be looked at as weird as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in the 2006 World Cup, the French manager just held out some of his star players from the World Cup. I think like Trezeguet or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he was a big astrologist and his players' birthdays didn't line up with the right signs of the zodiac.
It works.
And so he just kept them home.
It works.
They made it to the finals. They lost to Italy.
That works.
So I love it when these French countries just do stuff that would make American sports fans just their heads
go
explode.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. They soccer is a whole different world, but it is also not impervious to Drake's curse. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we found out. It's a whole different world. They have all different ways of doing stuff, but they too are afraid of Drake's curses.
Now, if I'm Drake, I got to find a way to get my picture taken with one of these guys. On
oh,
the team.
Yeah.
You got to
oh,
sneak
yeah.
this in.
Or just buy a full kit. Be a full kit wanker.
Mm.
Yeah. Drake.
Show up to the game.
Does Drake care that he's this? I mean, he really, like, the Raptors really have no chance. They should trade. The Raptors should trade Drake.
Yeah. No, I to answer your question, yeah, I think he's upset.
He's mad? Is Big mad?
I think he's upset.
Yeah. Go ahead, Hank. Guys on guys. So we're going to try to do something a little different than guys on chicks. We're going to do guys on chicks still, but...
Yeah, first of all, I want to let all our female listeners out there know, hey, we care about you.
We still care about you so much.
But you know what? Sometimes you just got to hang with the boys.
Yeah, we got to hang with the boys.
It's just time to chill with the dudes.
Give some advice out.
Sup, boys, especially skinny PFT.
This is a little different now. Sup. For the shout-outs, the specific shout-outs.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Yeah, no, that's fine. Sup. Yeah, yeah okay. No, that's fine.
All right.
I'll take them any way I can get them.
It's guys on guys, but instead of the guys who are writing in pretending to be chicks, they're just being guys.
What if it's chicks writing in pretending to be guys because we took away their guys on chicks?
We basically have time traveled to late 90s AIM chat rooms.
Uh-huh.
We don't know who's who.
My brother just broke up with his girlfriend, and she is telling everyone in our family that he cheated on her with another girl. Turns out she was lying because she's pissed he broke up with her, and she's a psycho. Now she is saying that I'm Snapchatting other girls and that I'm cheating on my girlfriend. How should we handle this situation? Thanks, boys.
I think you got to sleep with her.
Yeah, prove her wrong.
Actually, you know what? Here's the thing.
So just rolled aside.
This no, is not.
I was thinking
that was not good advice. But here's what you should actually do. Sounds like this girl is a little bit nuts. She's very emotional because she probably cared about your brother. What you have to do is you have to make her seem way, way, way more nuts than she actually is, so everybody will believe you. So that means you have to start Snapchatting her and sending her just like outrageous stuff, yeah. Just like stuff nobody would ever believe. And then she'll start spreading the rumors. Oh, he sent me a picture of, I don't know, fill in the blank here. I've already been problematic enough today.
No, you're good.
I've been canceled.
You got it. You have been canceled, but you can't double cancel.
Okay, here's a picture.
You're actually in a perfect spot now.
He Snapchatted me a picture of him having sex with a silkworm nest and jizzing all over and drowning all the tiny little butterflies. And then then everybody would be like, this chick's crazy. That would never happen.
And there you go.
And then, boom, you're out of your problem.
Just make sure she doesn't watch Gone Girl. That would be my advice. That would get some ideas flowing.
You could do my idea and come into a silkworm nest.
Mm-hmm. That was one of those ones where I just let you talk, and you found your place to fucking a butterfly nest.
Yep.
Going to New York in a few weeks to visit some people. One of the people I'm visiting, a girl I went to high school with, has become best friends with a girl who's trying to make it as a model. She's probably going to be the best-looking person I've ever met in real life based off her Instagram. How do I approach a girl who models, considering she knows that I know... that she knows how good-looking she is.
Yeah.
Do I just bring it up or not even mention
it? You already lost.
Yeah, you lost.
You're done. It's over.
Only way to salvage this is to hope that she's got a friend with her when you meet her for the first time and then go up to her friend and be like, oh my gosh, it's so intimidating to meet a model. You're so beautiful.
No,
and have the model hear you say that to the friend, and then she'll be like, wait, I'm the model. And be like, oh wow, that could have fooled me.
The only way this can work is you have to actually realize that you've lost. There's no chance. But actually realize it. And then you will be free to possibly be cool enough to not, like, come across as this desperate dude who says this is the most gorgeous woman I'm ever going to meet.
I'm ever going to see
you're
in
out.
Real life.
You're out.
Based off her Instagram.
You're done.
Which
is never real life. But you're done. You're gone. The tip is don't get your hopes up like you've gotten them.
Sup, guys, especially MDMA commenter. One of my buddies is addicted to shaving his ass hair.
Oh.
He is constantly grooming himself and ridding his body of any hair between his cheeks. How do we let him know this is weird and he doesn't need to shave his ass this much?
Okay.
Thanks for the
help. Hold on. I have a question. What's weirder, shaving your ass hair or knowing your best friend shaves his ass hair?
If he's your roommate, it's not weird.
Because he probably talks about it.
Or you see, like when people shave... you know, it gets messy.
I think you probably...
Well, then that's how you address it. Be like, bro, you make a mess. Clean it up.
Unclog the drain.
Get some asshole bleaching and put it right on the kitchen table.
I feel like that's also dangerous.
Bleaching your asshole?
No, shaving your asshole.
I would say so.
Maybe he uses that, like, shampoo that makes your hair fall out.
Yeah.
It's called Nair.
Also, could you have your roommate just shoot us a couple tips in case Christian Yelich wins the Homer Derby?
Yeah, well, you don't want...
Just a couple tips.
You're not a hair guy?
It's just, I don't know.
It'd be like nice two for one.
If you cleaned up for me down there.
You get dinner and you get the floss at the same time.
similar question. Sup, boys, especially Got Cat.
Ooh, Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I'm wondering how much I should be shaving down low in order to impress the ladies. I've always been told that chicks like a little bit of hair, so it doesn't look like I've got a prepubescent
penis.
See,
now
penis.
We're in a bad spot.
But
because
where
now
do you
we're
draw the line of also
that
not
that
enough
women women do know that
us.
We don't know.
Yeah.
That was kind of the whole point of guys on chicks. In the
yeah,
place.
I know. I know. I thought these
also
weren't
how
be,
important
I didn't want these
balls.
To be sex questions. Mm-hmm. We really can't help with that.
We're not good at answering
I wanted
these.
To more be like, hey, do I have to do my taxes? No.
Yeah.
Hey.
You want to know about my ball theory? About yeah. how often you, like, on your calendar, how often you should shave your balls? Yeah. I don't know. My general rule of thumb is that you shave it once it starts to impede the natural movement of it.
Mm. Yeah. Once it gets lost in the
forest.
The
woods, yeah.
yeah.
It's a real easy way to gain a couple inches.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll end with this one. Kind of sounds like a rom-com plot.
Okay.
Support.
Oh,
all right, Hank's going through puberty.
There we go.
Boys growing
sup
up.
Sup, boys, what happens if my voice cracks?
Sup, PMT boys, especially Big Cat. I was good friends Ken. With a girl, period. We both had the same major and often studied together. I thought we were just friends, but after a few months, I got a vibe that she was attracted to me. The vibe kept getting stronger, and I was pretty sure she liked me. I wasn't sure if I wanted to date her, so I was taking time to think it over. I was explaining the situation to a buddy of mine one night, and he asked if I was sure she liked me. I joked that I would bet my pinky that she liked me, and my buddy freaking told her that I would bet my pinky on her liking me. Now she won't talk to me.
I zoned out, sorry.
Is there anything I can do to save the friendship or my pinky?
Yeah, bet on the Houston Texans.
There we go.
So problem solved.
You got it. So that, listen, guys on guys, need some work. We tested it. Mm-hmm. Didn't really work out the way I thought. Maybe we'll go back to the drawing board. We'll go back to guys on chicks next week, and we'll figure out how to possibly maybe give real advice that isn't sex advice. To the guys, to the few guys that listen to this show, because
it's
mostly women that
mostly
listen to the
female,
show.
Yeah.
All right, that's our show.
I just want to say, like, address that last caller or texter or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a quintessential guy thing to do, is, like, just know in your head that, oh, this girl must like me, but be so afraid of actually asking and following up on it that you're more likely to bet a body part than you are to just be like, hey, here's how I feel about you.
Do you
like
me
too?
Right. Because the rejection of a woman is far worse than cutting off your own finger.
Agreed.
Yeah, easily. All right, that's our show. Go watch PFT's Hong Kong video on our YouTube channel. Watch Rough and Rowdy on Friday night. Watch Hard Factor and PFT smoke weed / CBD on Saturday.
The Hard Factor guys will be doing the actual stuff.
Yes. And we will see everyone on Friday.
Love you guys. You know when I get back? Fuck that.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports.